again.
Are we doing this? Really?
Wait for it.
Are we doing this?
Wait for it.
How? What the fuck?
WTF.
And it's also, what the fuck?
What's wrong with me?
It's time for WTF.
What the fuck?
With Mark Maron.
All right, let's do this. How are you? What the fuckers? What the fuck buddies? What the fucking ears? What the fuck is seeing? Is that it? Nashville, Tennessee, Wild West Comedy Festival. Oh, yes.
How you doing, buddy? Everything all right? So what we're going to do here is we're going to do a show. We're going to do it. I don't usually do one-on-ones in front of a live audience, so this is only the second time I've done this. I'll have Vince come out here in a little while. I don't know if any of you heard the first time I attempted a one-on-one interview live, but that was with Jeffrey Tambor. And about 30 minutes of that were just fucking crazy. You should go back and listen to that one, because that was the most uncomfortable live situation I've ever been part of. Eventually, he loosened up, and I realized it was his, like, he was having fun fucking with me and making me uncomfortable. I don't think Vince will do that. I talked to him downstairs. I've only met him once. He's a large man. Surprisingly tall, Vince Vaughn, and very charming. So I'm excited to have him out here. Not before I ramble on just enough for you guys to go like, God, we can't fast forward it live. No, I want to say I'm happy to be in Nashville. I come here fairly often. I like being here. I would move here if there was anything for me to do. But I don't know if I could live here. I could live here comfortably, but I imagine like two or three times a year, it'd be like, I'm going to interview Jack White again. There's a few things he didn't say the last time. He's close by. I guess a lot of people live here. Who else lives here? Who? Nicole Kidman lives here? Oh, of course, because of the dude, right? But neither one of them are really from this country, are they? And you guys just let that happen, huh? So you're very open-minded with the outsiders, if they're the right color. Oh, shit. Did he just play the race card in our fucking home? I did. I'm sorry that I got the... I know you're all progressive people who just want to put that behind you. I am not judging Nashville or the South or any of it. I am full on into it now. Oh, I had my first Goo Goo cluster. Are you applauding that because you think they're wonderful or just because you ate them as a child? What is it? Do you love them? Yeah, they're pretty good. And I think I've been watching too much Food Network. I think they're missing a crunch element. I think they're like, I'd like to maybe suggest a Goo Goo cluster with a little cookie in there or something. Is that wrong? Listen to this. There's a fucking sucking silence in here. Like I just offended, like I just said something bad about your parents. Really? Goo Goo clusters are off limits? There's no room for improvement there? It's like, you can say whatever you want about the racial dynamics of the South. Don't fuck with Goo Goo clusters. Because that's our regional candy, asshole. This is exciting. I bet you don't have these. This is a Goo Goo cluster pick. I got a Goo Goo cluster guitar pick. Did you even know they existed? This might be the high point of my entire time here. Is a Goo Goo cluster guitar pick. I have one. Fuck y'all. I don't even know where they came from. There were just two sitting there. It wasn't like there was a bunch of them. They just left them out for someone to find, like me, and go like, no fucking way. A Goo Goo cluster guitar pick? That's ridiculous. I want one of those. It's worth money. What? It's worth money? Is that your first slot? Yeah, buddy. I bet you I'd get $3 for it. Yeah, like, how much for the Goo Goo cluster guitar pick? Some guy's got to really be a real Goo Goo cluster head to fucking want that thing. They only made four of them, man. I got two. It's already a bit of panic. You know, look, I know a lot of you listen to my show. Some of you are here because you know me, and I appreciate that. And I'm trying. Thank you. And I know a lot of you are thinking like, hey, man, everything's going good for you. Why are you so fucking whiny? I don't think I'm whiny, but I am finding that I'm a bit aggravated, and I can't figure out why. Have you ever had that happen? I couldn't be happier about my life right now, but yet I wake up in the morning and I just want to be pissed off. Like, I don't know what that is. I have to fix that. Because you can't be doing well in life and run around going like, fuck that. Because people are going to be like, no, fuck you. What do you have to complain about? But I think there's some part of my brain that wants to be angry, that is just looking for an opportunity. Case in point. I don't know what's happened to me. I don't know if it's my age or what, but I can't leave my house without forgetting at least two things. I don't know when that happened, but I'll get out of my house, get a quarter mile away, and I'll be like, fuck my pants. You know, but not that bad yet, but I'm prepared for it. So here's what happens. This is just like, this is anger I don't understand, because I know that I clearly want to be angry and I'm trying to find the appropriate place to do it. So I leave my house. Here's what happened. I got up and made a nice cup of coffee, put effort into it. You know, I put effort into coffee. I got a cone. I pour it through. It's a ritual. So I made this beautiful cup of coffee. I put it in my stupid travel mug. It was all ready to go. Get into my car. I get down my hill about a quarter mile. I'm like, yeah, coffee. Fuck, no coffee. All right. Now, a normal person at that moment would have turned their car around and driven back up the hill to their home. Not what I did. I chose to back up the hill angrily at 40 miles an hour. There are cars parked on both sides. And I'm just like, fuck that. And I'm driving like a madman up that hill. Didn't hit any cars. I made it. And there's that moment where you do something stupid like that for no fucking reason. And you pull it off. You're like, hell yeah, I just did that. And I didn't hit any cars. I fucking nailed it. I nailed my stupid anger display. I was proud of myself. Proud. Yeah. I didn't even need the coffee after that. I'm like, I don't even need the coffee. I'm jacked. I'm pure rage. So that happened. Oh, okay, I'm going to tell you this just because it was fucking cool. You know who was in my garage? I tweeted it so some of you know. Fucking Billy Gibbons. Was in my garage. Are you kidding me, man? What kind of life am I living? I live in a two-bedroom, one-bathroom house, like a cabin, with a shitty garage, and fucking Billy Gibbons is sitting there in my garage with his beard and hat. Look, anyone who doesn't like ZZ Top can go fuck themselves. That's a fine way to open a show. I know some of you who are a little younger are like, I don't know, the beards, I don't know. How about before the beards? Why don't you go back a little bit, all right, to the real shit. Fuck the beards. Listen to Trace Ombre. Why am I selling ZZ Top? Like, they need to sell records? Look, if you do anything after this show, please help out the fellas in ZZ Top, because just as a public service, all right, they only made $1 billion, and they're hurting, all right? Billy needs some sort of trimmer, and I'm going to be at Zany's tomorrow night. There's still tickets. I'm just telling you that. I'm not going to take it personally that it's not sold out. It's 7 o'clock on Friday. I know that's a weird time.
And then, Willie Nelson.
What? It's competing with Willie Nelson? Fuck, I'm canceling the show. And I'm going to go see Willie Nelson. I should interview him. I wonder if he would be a good interviewer or he'd just be sort of high.
Let's find out.
I'd be high? I don't do that anymore, but like, what? That'd be weird. Would I relapse for Willie? Like, I'd be like, if you'll talk to me, I'll take a hit. And then the entire conversation would be like, does my face look weird? Willie, am I cool? Am I cool, Willie? This is really good shit. They didn't have this when I quit smoking this stuff. Is the guest in the shoot? Please welcome to the stage Vince Vaughn, ladies and gentlemen. There he is, walking the aisle. From Wedding Crashers, from Swingers, from The Breakup, from everything that is media, Mr. Vince Vaughn, not in any hurry. Take your time. Nice to see you, Vince. I'm very good. Thank you very much.
You felt like a beauty queen, and you tried to make that moment feel dirty to me.
I apologize.
I love the way it felt for
I
me to come
I asked for
down
a spotlight. I told him he needs lights. He's doing the walk.
That's right.
You're a very tall man.
You know what? You are quick as a whip, yes.
I can see this is already like...
I'm already digging deep, Vince. I'm already going in.
I'm circus tall.
The first time I met you, I had no idea because most movie stars are tiny. They're like this size, aren't
they?
Right.
They're smaller.
Oh my God, you work with a lot of guys that are that small. Like Ben Stiller can just fit on your lap.
Yeah. He's a giant in so many ways. It's hard to ever look at him that way.
All right, I'm not going to sit here and throw Ben under the bus.
Ben's a gentleman. You've done this with Ben, right?
I have. He came to my garage. He made me feel very insecure. He was over complimentary. You know when someone's over complimentary, like, this is a great garage. Is it, Ben? Really? I know. Your house must be huge. But I dealt with it okay.
Yeah.
Why? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
A lot of this is going to be about me. I don't know if you knew that
it's
about
good.
The show.
I'm down.
I just need you to help me.
I love your garage. This is a great garage. I mean, what are we doing here, right?
Well, that's a good question. What brought you to Nashville? Why Nashville?
Well, I've always loved Nashville. And for me, you know, there was always these... I kind of got into this in a different way where I had friends who were stand-up comedians. And so I started doing these variety shows. And you know, Ahmed, to sort of help them kind of get started.
We need help, comedians, generally
some,
speaking.
Some oh, yeah. yes, some no.
Yeah, there's funny and then there's sad. You know what I mean? We ride the line.
Underneath all funny is what? Say it.
Sad.
Okay, thank you guys. Good night. I don't think we're going to get any farther than that. So I started doing these variety shows and doing these things and having fun. I got to travel around. And I really wanted to come to the South to do a show. There doesn't seem to be as many comedy festivals. They're always kind of up north. And this is a hell of a city and a lot of fun. I've always been a big fan of the music and country music. And
are you?
Huge, yeah.
Are you a country music guy?
Yeah.
Who are your guys?
Well, I like Dwight Yoakam's a good...
Yeah.
And I like Kenny Chesney a lot and a lot of the new guys that are doing stuff that are great. So,
how about the old crazy ones? George Jones?
Oh, I love him. The Possum, No Show Jones. He was the best, yeah. He was great. I always hear that story, like how they gave him, like, took his license away and do you want it? And then, like, he would drive his tractor to the bar. And in a way, I just kind of thought, that guy's, I like the work ethic, you know? Yeah. You ain't going to stop him, right? You're not going to.
That is commitment to
take my
wife compulsion.
As well, so you take the old tractor from me while you're at it. Yeah.
Have you ever driven a tractor?
I haven't.
You
no. My wife grew up on a farm. She's driven combine.
Really?
Yeah. But my grandfather was a dairy farmer, but I was never a part of that activity, if you will.
He was a dairy farmer?
He was.
Did you visit the farm?
I did.
So you played.
Why is it such a dirty foreign thing to you? What's that about? It's like a world that doesn't exist. There's farms all throughout the country.
No, I understand that.
The hillbilly thing works both ways. You know, the people from this and that.
I didn't grow up with that.
I understand. That's okay. Let's be open minded to it. Let's share. Why can't we grow?
I'm trying.
I am too.
But then, so did you?
I'm gonna walk down the aisle again.
No,
come back.
But no, I mean, it's like, I think it's important to get a sense of who you are. Did you milk? Did you milk?
No.
You did no milking?
No.
You went to your grandfather's dairy farm, you're like, I'm not touching this.
I was young. It wasn't like that. I remember I came in from the suburbs.
Yeah.
And there was, his farm was in Ohio, in Brewster, Ohio, a small little town. There was a lot of Amish that lived around there. They are fun.
Yeah.
And though, according to the reality shows now, they're leveraging people, right?
What? Well, they do that. What is that thing called?
Yeah, I don't know. The Amish Mafia? Is that what it is?
Oh, are you serious?
They're stepping on toes. People are getting pushed around, yeah.
Wow.
It's happening.
You always know they're coming, though. If they're at the door, you kind of know. It's not a mystery. Who's that at the door? It's the Amish Mafia.
That's right. If it's not Thanksgiving, it's the Amish.
Yeah, it's either the Amish or the Chassids. It's one or the other.
That's right.
Yeah, slight difference in language.
But nice a little, the hair otherwise pretty close.
Yeah, that's very close. But I think a Hasidim can drive. Not on Fridays, but usually.
Fridays, they got, yeah.
So we've discussed Judaism and Amish. We've gotten very far.
And we're just getting started.
Yeah.
We're just getting started.
All right, so you're at the Amish farm. You're not milking
No, I remember out. I had studied the pilgrims and Thanksgiving, and I was maybe, I don't know if I was five, maybe kindergarten. But anyway, we were driving in a car, and we were then behind a horse and carriage, and everyone was dressed like in the Amish, how they do with the black and the white, which in New York is a great style choice, but this was, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, like, I made some joke about the pilgrims or something. Like, we were stuck behind these pilgrims. My dad got so damn mad at me, he pulled the car over. He's like, you don't know those people. Don't make fun of them. And really got mad at me, which was a good lesson. But I didn't know. I just had never seen anything like it before. Kind of like when you started making fun of shit earlier. But when I went up to the farm, it was a big deal because they had a little bit of cattle. And they had to rip the fence out and stuff to kind of let us in. And My dad would go there and work in the summers, but I only went up there two or three times. It kind of made an impression on me, but I was too young. I never was there working or anything.
Right, so you didn't get that experience,
no.
The farm experience.
No.
You just kind of got to look at the animals and say, Grandpa does that.
Well, I didn't talk. Grandpa didn't talk that much with the kids. A little bit, he'd joke around, but it's a big deal if Grandpa would talk to you. You get real excited. He worked in the steel mill, and he was a farmer. He played like semi-pro baseball. He was an athlete in that. And I remember they had these homemade cookies. And he said to me, I was sitting there real shy. You know, I like my grandfather noticed me, all the kids. He said, hey, Vince is shy. I said, Vince, you'd like one of them cookies. Come up here, grab one of them cookies. I was so excited that he talked to me. I was thrilled to grab one of the cookies. But I hated the cookie. I didn't like the cookie at all. So it put me in kind of a weird spot. Because I wanted him to notice me some more. So I took the cookie, you know, like an ostrich. You know when little kids play hide and seek?
Yeah.
They'll, like, put their head behind a curtain, but their ass will be sticking out. And they always laugh like they got you fooled because, you know, they can't see you. Well, I took the cookie, and I dropped it, and it was like a little rug thing. I put it under that, and I kind of stamped on it and stood on it. And I felt like, that's good. Like, now the cookie's gone. So I grab another cookie. And then he liked it. He said, oh, yeah, see, he was just shy. He loves those cookies. But I really just liked him noticing me. Well, I did this about three or four times.
Yeah.
So I know when I left, he had to turn, you know, to the rest of the family and go, that little Vince kid's psychotic. Like, who the fuck takes cookies and stomps on them underneath the rug? Those are my farm. That's
a great farm story. Yeah. That went in a direction I could never have expected.
That's right.
That was the cookie story.
That's the cookies.
But where'd you grow up?
I grew up outside of Chicago in Buffalo Grove and then Lake Forest, two suburbs of the city.
How far from Chicago?
Within both of them, within an hour, yeah.
And you got miles. Brothers and sisters?
I had two older sisters.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's just you and two girls?
Me and two ladies. And your mom. Thus my verbal skills picked up.
I have a brother. I have no context. So you had to learn. They were older, too.
They were 5 and 6 years older than me.
Wow. Yeah.
So, they beat you up. They'd mentally destroy you. You had
really?
To really learn to survive. No, you know, like kids do. We're very close. But, you know, when you're younger, brothers and sisters can be a little rough on each other,
were
right?
Were you beaten up by women?
Well, they got smacked around by some ladies a time or two, sure. But, yeah, we were very close. My sisters and I were very close, yeah.
And what kind of...
Not younger, but as you get older.
It gets easier.
You know, when you're younger, and you're 5 years younger, and they want to play a board game, you're a problem.
Yeah.
Let Vince play too.
Yeah.
So I understand.
Just the annoying brother.
Yes.
Yeah. Get out of our room.
We're
doing grown-up things.
That's right.
Yeah. But you're close now?
Very close.
Are they in show business? No.
They work with me. We do stuff. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not you run a family
before they
business?
Weren't, but we kind of, yeah, the production company is kind of a family business, which is fun.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's a sweet thing.
It is.
When you were growing up, and did you go to Chicago a lot? Was Chicago part of your
life? I did. I started going, once I could drive a car, I started going down, really when I started to get into acting and stuff.
How'd that start, though? Wait, did you do it in high school?
I did a little bit. Both my parents worked, so I would do different activities. And one of them, they put me in this community theater.
Really?
But it was all kids. It was all kids. I was like 7, and we were doing South Pacific. But everyone's a kid. It's crazy. You know, I played like Daddy Warbucks when I was 12, like in one of these things. But so then in school, I started doing plays and emceeing shows, and that was fun. And then I stopped a little bit. I started playing sports in high school. And then,
so you did musical theater.
I did. Younger, we all did. It was interesting because we would improvise the scenes. There was no way you were teaching a bunch of 9-year-olds
right,
all the dialogue.
Do.
So we started improvising. We learned the songs. I remember I'd always kind of talk the songs. They tried to encourage me that, like, Yul Brynner was great, which I knew, man, I sucked at singing. So, but I liked performing. It was fun.
Did you get laughs?
And those, depending on the scenes, I don't remember particularly. It was more like, you know, you were doing South Pacific or something.
You don't remember being compelled to get laughs? You weren't one of
those? Not at that moment. When I started emceeing talent shows and stuff, like in junior high and high school, I did, and that was fun.
What sports did you play? This is a problem for me.
Sports were a problem?
Yeah, a little bit.
Tell me why. What happened?
What happened?
Yeah. Or what didn't happen, maybe the better question.
You know, I think I'm an athletic person, but I don't know how to process healthy competition. Like, for me, if you lose, it's fucking over. And, like, I wish in retrospect I would have been taught to be like, no, you got to learn how to lose like a man and go get up and play the next day. There was no playing the next day.
Well, that's like, you know, Bobby Knight or a lot of great coaches, and, you know, share that sentiment. So you had a champion in you that you didn't nurture.
That's exactly right.
You have like an unfed champion in you. Right. You have a starving champion that wants to go win a ring.
That's right. And because I was defeated by my own insecurity,
That's not true. The world was denied. I don't like that labeling.
No, I don't either.
That's not true.
But I denied the world probably an Olympian.
Yeah.
I could have done something. I don't know what. Maybe lifting.
Kept track of what the scores were that the other people did. Something. You could have contributed. No, you could have done something. Here's what I'm saying to you.
Okay.
You were frustrated with not winning, which is a good thing.
It was a shitty team, man.
That's right. I got stuck with...
I was on the Bad News Bears.
Okay.
I seriously was. The Little League team, they were just horrible. My mother didn't know how to sew patches on properly. It's a long story.
I like it.
It's a laughing stock.
I forgot my hat
during the picture. I'm the only kid in the picture without the hat. How old was I? This was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
No, it was like 9 or 10 peewees. You know what I mean? I was afraid of the ball. Look, let's talk about your heroic sports career.
Here's the one thing I want to say.
What?
You can be pretty tough on my friend Mark, and he's a pretty good guy. I want you to take it easy on my friend, because I like him. Okay?
All right, but I don't think you really know him. He's kind of a pussy.
He's a good man.
All right. I'll get that to him.
Good man.
Yeah, I'll get that to
him
later.
Just be easy on him. You don't have to give him anything. Stop teaching him. Let it go.
But were you like a captain?
Was I a captain? Like, if I was a captain, somehow I would be like put in a horrible category. I wish I was a fucking captain so we could have that conversation. No, I was not a captain.
What do you mean you weren't a captain?
No, I went into entertainment. I was not a captain.
But wait.
I played sports. I wrestled. I played football. I did a little bit of everything.
And you wrestled.
I did.
But you're so tall.
I'm tall.
But how the hell you won every time, right?
I was pretty good. You know, I didn't want to. I wanted to play a team sport because those are fun. Like you ride on the bus and everyone's laughing and we're in together. Wrestling's not like that. You're sitting by yourself. You're spitting. You know, big league chew. You're trying to lose weight and you got to get in a street fight in front of some kid you don't even know in front of your mom and dad. It's uncomfortable. But I wanted to be like, hey, high five, or you missed the block. There was none of that. It's like, nope, he pretty much just choked me out. But I did, and I enjoyed it. And then when you started losing the weight and as you get older and stuff, I didn't like it as much. I played football, and I was above average.
It was a weight issue? You wanted to eat more, and that's why you got
into wrestling? No, it wasn't that. You start like that's your weight. But, you know, 3 months later, that's not your weight when you're growing unless you're wrestling, and then it is your weight. Right. You'd wear, like, the fucking sweat shit on the bike.
Did you wear that?
It was like, what was that one with the Madonna song in it? Vision Quest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you wear a unitard?
I did the whole thing.
God.
I wore my unitard to school. I was so fucking proud. What's up? Look who's wrestling, bitches. No, I did not. But then I started going, gosh, I'd like to do this, you know, acting and this kind of stuff. I didn't know what it meant.
Hold on a minute. What are the
sports? Oh, we're going to go back to this.
Yeah, I need to know because I want to judge
Okay,
you.
So football.
Oh, football.
Yes. Wrestling.
Okay.
I played younger baseball, but just for a couple years, not later.
How much football did you play?
I played football 7th, 8th, freshman, and sophomore year.
So you had a letter jacket? You were a letter jacket guy?
Could have had a letter jacket. Yeah, that's okay, though. Learn to love those people. You're going to love a little bit of yourself.
I know that. I'm talking about me.
We're going to work through this. We are going to work through this.
So, but what kind of letter jacket wear were you? Were you like a dick or were you like the cool guy?
Oh, I was a dick. I'd pick on anyone. Anyone who quit a fucking sport, I would have fucking kicked the shit out of. I couldn't have stand that guy.
I just wanted
I would have found him.
I just wanted to.
Oh, you forgot your fucking hat? Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Look who forgot the fucking hat.
I kind of felt like this was what it was going to be like. I knew I was walking into this.
No. What happened?
That's the old you, right?
No, it was never me. But I'll wear that hat if you want to put the costume on me.
So you do the baseball.
So we played sports. Let's talk about those again. These guys love this part. There was wrestling. You guys ready to fucking kill yourselves yet?
Yeah.
There was football. And then what happened was my parents wouldn't let me go down to try out for professional things because I wasn't. That was a kid.
Like, what do you mean professional?
I said, I'd like to go try out for, like, a professional play
or
go down to Chicago and try to do something. They said, well, you know, when you're 18, you make your own decision. So a friend of mine, his mom, like, got him headshots and the whole thing, and she would take him to the city to audition. So I cut school one day to go with him.
You didn't tell your parents?
I did not. I wrote a letter, my own, like, let Vince go with him letter. And I went down,
I was in the waiting room, and the casting director said, oh, he's here. But he liked, the other mom was nice, I think, and encouraged it, and said he liked to read for this thing. And it was an industrial film about, like, teenage dating or whatever it was.
In-house industrial.
Yeah, like some company. And I got the part. So that was good, because then I was able to meet an agent. And then I had to go get headshots. Now, are you guys familiar with headshots? What they are?
Yeah.
When I did them, and I didn't know anything. They could have told me to do anything. I didn't know. They were like, you got to have different poses to show different looks. Do you remember this?
I do. Did you do these? There was like four. Composite.
Did you do the composite?
No, I didn't do a composite.
So, like, you'd have a tennis racket, but, like, be looking at the camera. You have a chef hat, and that tastes good. Sweatbands with, like, a Kiss shirt on. Look who's helping their friend move. Swear to God. You know, preppy, what time's the dance start? I love the foxtrot, whatever. So I did this, humiliating, but I was...
Do you have any left?
I don't know where the hell they are.
You've got to find
them. I burned those things. But then I started getting a chance to audition and do stuff. And then I started to go down to the Improv Olympic, which Del Close started, who started Second City.
Really?
Oh, so I was a kid, I started to study and train with that. And
with Del?
With Del. Took some classes from Del.
How did you tell your parents on the idea? Now, they busted
you. My dad was pretty cool. I had a car and I was driving down, and they knew I took it seriously. And they were supportive at that point. But my mom was just, you know, they were removed from the entertainment industry. So they were always encouraging.
What kind of business were they?
They just thought, you're not going to go get paid and have a job.
Right.
They're worried. Doing plays and stuff, you're going to go to school.
They're worried. Yeah. That's their primary concern. It's not that parents judge what your choice is, but they're like, that doesn't work out for anybody.
Right. But once I got to be 18 and I wanted to move to California, they were like, that's fine.
What business were they in?
My dad was a manufacturer's rep for toys.
What toys?
Well, like... Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle was one that he represented.
Really? He repped the turtles?
But he was the manufacturer's rep, so he was, you know, the factory would make it, and he would get on the shelves.
Really?
Yeah.
So did you have
Christmas was very nice at the Vaughn house. A couple samples would fall off the truck, if you know what I'm talking about. Remember the Evel Knievel stunt cycle? Yeah. That was a big one.
Plenty of toys. Wait, Del Close, tell me about that. So what were those classes? This guy's the wizard. He's the Buddha. He's the improv genius that sort of set all of it going, like UCB, all of it. And you spent time with that guy.
I did. I had met a guy in a different acting class who said, you should really come down to this thing called the Improv Olympic. And what it was is, I think they wanted to do more improv where you really went on stage and you didn't know where it was going to go. And they had this thing called the Herald.
Right.
And you would get on there, you'd take a suggestion from the audience, you'd have different games and tools, and you would attempt to tell a complete story with the beginning, middle, and end with the people on the team with you, and you would compete. And I was only there for a little while, although Del came from Second City, and a lot of the coaches did go back and forth between the two of them. I only did Improv Olympic, which was really good training. But I wasn't old enough to be in the places. I was tall. But I would go perform at these places in Chicago, and I really enjoyed it. And it was a great training. And looking back, you know, when I met Favreau, we met on a movie called Rudy. And although he was from Queens, he was living in Chicago at the time. He had gone to study.
Right.
And so we had that in common.
Who were the guys? Do you remember any of the people who were around then? Because a lot of people started in Chicago. There's
a lot of people started, and a lot of great screenwriters, and obviously people came out of that program because you're really screenwriting. I mean, improv is
like gives you the chops to act, to listen, to do everything, and also build sketches and direct everything.
Yeah, it's a great training ground, I think, just for getting comfortable even just jumping into something without knowing where you're going.
Was Farley around or any of those people that you remember?
He was before I was. So he was already off and on.
He's gone.
And on SNL, yeah. And I loved watching him like anybody did.
But somehow or another, you didn't get stuck in the full arc of it. Like you're not in the road troupe. You weren't, you know, you got in and out, huh?
I never had the ambitions of being on SNL or doing that stuff. I never had the ambitions of being a stand-up. I really liked that training, and it came easy to me in that they put me on stage very quickly, and I really enjoyed it. But I really wanted to be an actor, so once I stayed with it, and then once I got to be 18 and graduated high school, I moved out to California.
But how did the movie Rudy come about? Were you cast in Chicago?
I wasn't, although I was in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I hadn't been working at all, and I had a manager, but no agent.
How long have you been in? Wait, so you move. All right, so you tell your parents you're going to go. You go to L.A.
Yes.
You don't know anybody.
Well, I go there, and they say you have to take community college classes.
Oh.
I already tried that once. I went for 2 weeks in Chicago. CLC, Community of Last Chance. Anyone else here from there? I wait for a couple of weeks, whatever. Then I go, okay, I'll take community college, Santa yeah. Monica Junior College. I signed up in that. And then I was able to get an agent right away when I first moved out there.
Really?
Right away.
How'd that happen?
I just got a number of this lady, and I called her. And she was like a big agent at like ICM.
Really?
And I had done stuff in Chicago. So I had done like a Chevy commercial, right. and like an Indiana farm insurance commercial. I'd done like a Sears Roebuck, like how to use the universal exercise machine correctly.
So you actually did your composite photo.
So for Chicago, I had done a lot of stuff. I thought, this is great.
Yeah.
So when I called her, I said, you know, I was trying to like, you know, I said, you know, she said, I only represent like actors like people know. Like there's nothing I could do for you. And I said, I'm not sure I'm going with you. We haven't even met each other yet. But she was nice enough to refer me to a smaller agent. And I went to this, not smaller in size, but in stature. But I went to her, and she just liked that I called someone right away and that I had studied a lot in Chicago and I had done some stuff.
She liked your moxie.
She liked the moxie that I brought to the table.
This guy's got balls.
That's right.
Are you still with that agent?
No.
How long did that last?
I was with her for a while. But I had kind of been dropped by agents and stuff for a long time leading up till Swingers. You know, it was about 7 years or so that I was out there. But I met John on Rudy, and he was currently in the Improv Olympic, and he was also washing dishes at Second City. And we had that in common, and we just made fun of each other right away. I mean, he was from Queens, and we were kind of similar but different backgrounds, and so I liked it. He was very insulting, and vice versa. We would kind of ride each other, and we sort of became friends. And then,
so he was living in Chicago studying.
He was living in Chicago doing the Improv Olympic,
right.
and he was washing
that.
Dishes at some
But he was just like working the door and stuff and washing dishes and just hanging around.
He was trying to ascend, if you will.
And then how did you both get cast in that movie?
Well, I think he like auditioned and got a part. It was the craziest thing because I had a tape. You know, you put these tapes like the composite together where it's like scenes you've done and the different things, which were like for me were like after school specials and whatever.
They were looking
for a guy to play a football player, and so they cast me, and I never had to read for it. And I was not a good auditioner, so that's how I got the part. And then we met in South Bend. And then when he moved out to Los Angeles afterwards, we hung out quite a bit.
So how long were you out there before you got cast in anything? I mean,
get cast every now and then and stuff.
But
the first year I got cast in nothing. You know, it's difficult.
Sure. I know. But like, it seemed like you were hammering around. You were out there for a long time. Where were you working? What were you doing?
Well, I was fortunate. You know, national commercials paid a lot.
Oh, right.
And I had done those younger.
Yeah.
And then I would work every now and then in residuals and stuff. But, you know, nothing consistent.
Yeah. Nothing fun. Nothing weird.
Nothing too crazy. No, I wish. I did 21 Jump Street, China Beach, you know, different TV shows
parts.
That were there at the time.
And you were, how old were you? Like 20, what?
I was 18 when I moved out.
So
and I did Swingers, I think I was 24. Favreau has a funny story I want to tell because it made me laugh. I'm, like, you know, they name these characters stuff. He told me this. He went in for, he was heavy, you know, he did Rudy and he's like a big guy. And there was an audition for this movie, Shawshank Redemption, which seemed real pedigree for us. We were like, that's great. And he got a part to go read in the part of the character was Fat Ass. That was the name of the character he's going to read for. And Favs didn't like that they named the part Fat Ass. I don't blame him. But anyway, he wanted to play around with him. So he went in, and there was a receptionist girl, just a girl. She had nothing to do with anything, right? This poor girl just sitting behind a desk. So Favs comes in, and meanwhile, there's a bunch of really heavy white guys, a bunch of them in the room, all there auditioning, obviously, for the same part. So Favreau goes in and goes up to the girl, and he just real naive and excited. He says, I'm here to read for the part of Fat Ass. And she goes, I'm sorry. He goes, Fat Ass. I'm excited. My name is Jon Favreau. I'm here to read for the part of Fat Ass. She says, there's not a part of Fat Ass. He's like, well, what part could it be? What could it be? What am I here to read for? She goes, I think I know what part that you're here for. So she gave him the sides and handed it to him.
Yeah.
And he looked at it. He goes, this isn't Fat Ass. What is this? And she goes, the name on the top of the sides, the name is on the sides. He goes, well, what is it? What does it say? Because he just wanted to make her say it to him. So she looked at him and she goes, Fat Ass. And then he just acted like wounded to the core, like he couldn't believe it. But I always like that. I always like that story that John tells. But yeah, it was like you would go up for those kind of parts, right? Whatever.
Sure. Whatever yeah, I never was cut out for it for the same reason sports didn't work out. You know.
Oh my God.
Go on audition.
At some point, let's get a little backbone here, right? Let's yeah.
Go on the audition. They're like, it. Yeah,
no
rejected.
One likes the victim.
Reject. No.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's not a victim thing. It was just sort of like,
no,
fuck
it's kind of like somehow it's like. Someone's got to make you okay with that journey. You know what? Only one that can make you okay is you. Honestly.
Really?
That's real love, yes.
Was there ever a point in your life where you were wavering with your confidence?
Yes.
When? Early on?
Well, I think you always have that at different points.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, like, if you stayed out in L.A. before Swingers, like, I mean, it must have been like, fuck, how am I going to make a break here?
I think what it is I think that... the confidence comes from working at something more and more. And I think the fear, which I had, is a good thing if, depending on how you manage it.
If it doesn't destroy you.
Well, it does both, right? And then yeah. You learn that, you know, I think the thing with acting is you have to work really hard at it and you'll get more confident. Like anything in life, I think you have to work really hard at something, including your own life. You have to really try at something to get better. And you can improve where you're at if you're willing to kind of do those things. But part of the fun for acting, I look back now, I don't know what I was thinking at 18 or what got it in my mind. It was probably, for me, feeling like younger, that was an area I got a good response in and I felt confident in.
Right.
So I felt like, gosh, that feels fun. Let's go do that. And then when I went through rejection and all that a lot of actors do, you sort of have made your bet at that point.
You just sort of,
I got to make this work. I don't know. I don't think there's anything else I feel good that I could do. I really love this, so I better really work at it.
Right, but that's sort of part of the game. I mean, if I talk to actors, like the auditioning process or not being right, certainly early on, I mean, now they know who you are. But at some point, you just have to say it's not personal. That, you know, if you get rejected from a role, a lot of times they're not even looking for you.
Well, you know, when you're going through it and you're young, you do take it personal. But as you get older and you get on the other side of it, it isn't. But of course it feels that way because you're trying very hard to work. I mean, you want to work. And for me, if I would have gotten a TV series or anything, I was just thankful to have a chance to try to work at the art, at acting. I wasn't trying to be selective. I was just thankful to I wanted to do this. It felt so foreign to
me. Were you training at all?
I trained a lot. I always trained all the way through.
With who?
Well, in Chicago, I did Improv Olympic and that, and I did with David Darlow, Shakespearean stuff, and this is in Chicago. Uh-huh. And then in L.A., I stayed with Larry Moss quite a bit, who's a very popular acting coach and terrific. I just worked with him recently on this last movie I did. And
he came in and coached?
No, just I went to go see him and go through stuff.
Because like, I'm always, because like, I think acting, and I you could probably confirm this, is like, I think you have a natural ability for it. I mean, either you're going to, like some part of you lives in that. Like there is natural talent to it. But I'm always curious as to what people say the craft is or what the method is. I mean, what are some helpful things that were told you by these teachers that enabled you to move forward with focus?
I believe that, you know, there's always more than one way to the waterfall.
Yeah.
So there's not, this is the only way to do.
Did you make that saying up?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But I do believe that there's more than one way to sort of learn how to do something. It depends on how you learn and how you do stuff. And I like trying different things and take some things that work for you and go and do different stuff.
But like, what was the first problem solver that you had? Like when you were when you were first going out and you were first in LA and you're learning how to act, you know, what was the first obstacle that made you go like, oh fuck, yeah, I can do that?
Well, I think the difference was auditioning felt very different to me than having a material for a while and kind of feeling like you were creating a character.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like in auditioning, there's something in that dynamic that was very, you know, you're going in for a job interview.
Yeah.
And I was raised to be, you know, polite and shake everyone's hand, which was the worst fucking thing I could have done. I remember I go in, these guys probably couldn't wait to get me out of the room. I thought, who's the guy from Mayberry? But I would go in. And I would say, it's such a pleasure to meet you, and such a pleasure. They're like, fucking A, can the fucking tall guy sit down? We're not going to cast him anyway. It's an honor to meet you. You know, whatever. That's how I thought you took a job interview. And then I could get a weird feeling, like I knew I wasn't going to get it, but I felt like I had to make them okay. So I'd say, well, this is great stuff. You guys are going to have a great time shooting this stuff. Yeah. But It was always weird to me because there'd always be someone out in the waiting room who would be like kind of homeless and real rude to everybody. And they'd kind of like overly nerd, you know, make sure he could get in the room and treat him with kid gloves. And then, you know, you'd be sitting, I'd be sitting in my studio place and watching. And he'd be the guy on the show. He'd be the guy that got the part.
Got the part.
But there was something in that, I think, where if there was a confidence, they wanted to feel like they were hiring somebody that felt like they knew what they were doing. And so you started to learn, although they could be fooled or they whatever, sometimes people could put on an air as if I really know what I'm doing as a compensation. But what you started to learn was the more you got confident and sort of brought what you believed to be right, that's what they were looking for, someone who really felt like wasn't going to be a lot of work for them.
Right. You were locked in. You'd made your choices.
Yes.
You know, you knew exactly what you were going to do. Thank you. See you later. Not like, was that okay?
I mean, right.
Yeah, walking out going like, okay.
Okay, great. By the way, BBQ Saturday, if anyone's interested. 4 o'clock, but we could go 5 if it works better for everybody.
I'll just wait there.
I'll be outside, you tell me. You know what? Let me come by Monday and bring you whatever we donate.
Have you done that thing where you're like, do you guys need it any other way? I can do it another way. Do you want me to do it another
sure,
way?
Sure, yeah, sure. For
so
sure.
Horrible.
So desperate and sad, yeah. Right?
You want it angry? I can do angry.
Can I blow someone? Yeah. What are we doing here, guys? Honestly.
Anyone, you can watch. You can all watch or you can leave.
Walk on here.
How much part of Swinger's creation were you part of? I mean, were you working with John throughout the process of it?
Yeah, you know, it's... When that first happened, I said to Favreau, you know, I'm sick of auditioning these people. This material is not very good, and no one's writing stuff. I said, we should write our own stuff, and I made up my mind that I was going to write something. I had flown to Austin to see a friend of mine. I was going to go write, and I came back after 2 weeks. I kind of got my outline. I was ready to go, and John wrote Swingers in 2 weeks. He got one of those screenwriting books, and he wrote it, and it was great.
Which book? Sid Field?
Yeah, Sid Field, one of those, right? Oh, no, maybe it was Joseph Campbell he got.
Joseph Campbell?
The Writer's Journey.
Okay.
I think that's the one he did, but... And it was great. And we had a...
What did you write?
I had not finished that. I had written a treatment, and I was like, 2 weeks, this dude turned out this script, and it was incredible.
Wow.
Like, I think it just kind of came out of him, and that it was sort of something that was, you know, close to him. But we really loved it, and we said, we're going to get this movie made. And we were young and very kind of like, we have to not compromise the script. And it was difficult because no one knew who we were, me less so than him. And also... the movie wasn't traditional in that they said, well, swing music, who listens to swing music? And they said, can you make it grunge music? That was more popular at the time. And they said, there's no girl's point of view in the movie. We'd love to hear how the girls think about dating. I said, this isn't a fucking health video. Right? We're not trying to save the... It was about a bunch of guys who don't really know what they're doing trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, if there was a girl hanging out, there wouldn't be a fucking movie, right? Yeah, here's the girl telling me how it works. I'm dating her. What are we struggling with here, right? So, you know, it was sort of a coming of age. So we were very, you know, we would meet every day and talk about how we're going to get it done and who's going to finance it and went through all those different journeys and that kind of stuff. And, you know, I had ideas and a lot of the dialogue and stuff that was in the movie was stuff that I had said joking around. But John really, you know, wrote the movie. It was his idea. He coordinated it. But we were friends and I definitely, you know... gave him ideas and collaborated. You know, totally John's doing as far as the idea, the setting, all of it.
But you guys had a dynamic.
We had a dynamic.
You entered.
And he wrote it with my voice, so a lot of the stuff was things that I had said and, you know, that kind of thing. But
we were
just thrilled to be doing something. And Doug came in with the money to make it. We made it for $250,000. We shot it in 22 days. And you have to understand, I mean... we didn't have any money to shoot, so we would go to a bar, and the bar would be open because they couldn't close it. They say, yeah, you kids can shoot here, but we're not closing the fucking bar down. So we'd be there trying to do our lines. Your money, baby, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But there'd be people there hanging out, like, drinking. And in L.A., if you're trying really sincerely, you're a loser. Like, that doesn't go over well. Like, if you're really making an effort to do something, no one wants to be near you. There's something sad about that. You got to make it like you're cool and you got it working, right?
Yeah.
So we didn't know. We were shooting the movie and shot it in a short period of time. And the big thing for us was to try to get into Sundance. And then, of course, we didn't get into Sundance. But then ultimately, the movie really, we had finished it and did a screening, and it really popped. Like, everyone wanted to buy it at that point.
It's a huge movie. People love that movie.
It became a kind of a cult classic, for sure.
Yeah, people love that movie now. I mean, like, some people, like, they're... And that was... had you and John been hanging out a lot before you did the movie?
We were very good. Yeah, we hung
out
all
the best,
time.
Right? So, like, you know, you had that... Now you're entering with this chemistry is... established.
But then it becomes a little bit, I think, what happens sometimes. It's like Oasis or like any kind of young garage band where you're all very close and we did Made and you do stuff, but then there starts to be that I'm a guitar player, I'm the singer, and there starts to be a thing. Well, I think it just is a natural thing that happens. Like, you're all friends and you're making a movie and you're doing something, and then it's kind of like a band.
Did you fight?
You're very close. Not really ever fight, but, you know, I think you go through stages where you're so close and you do something so... you know, personal. Yeah. And I'm, you know, I talked to him Saturday, so we're still close and glad that but you know, you go through your moments where you're away and you're close. You start together as kids, you
That's
know.
Right.
So it's like you kind of grew up together in a way, and then, you know, both gone on from there, and other people in the movie too to do other stuff.
Well, it's good that you're still friends.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's nice.
And I'm excited for that new Chef movie. It's very good, if you guys haven't seen it.
It is good. It's a sweet movie. I talked to him. You know, I tried to get some, like, I emailed him. We're not tight, but he was on the show a couple times. I know he likes my show. So today on the plane, I'm like, what do you got on Vince? Nothing. Got nothing.
He might be just busy promoting.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. I mean, it's about me, Vince, and I don't understand why he didn't take the time.
You know what's going to happen? With my own hands, I'm going to knit a sweater with a C on it, and I'm going to give it to you. Yeah.
What does that mean?
Just a captain sweater for you. Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
That'd be nice if you could make time to do that.
Yeah.
I'd be very moved by that.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'd earn it. Yeah. I would be a captain.
That's right.
If you knitted me a captain sweater.
I think he already is a captain, isn't he?
Oh, thank you. So Swingers, big break. Now you're moving. Now you're the guy. All eyes are on Vince Vaughn. I'm saying that like a... I don't know who I just became just then. It's like, all eyes are on Vince Vaughn. What happens?
I don't know if it was like that. I think that the movie, there became opportunities and stuff for sure. But
what was the first one? Spielberg?
Spielberg, I did Lost World, which was weird, you know. I had met with him, and I talked with him a lot about Westerns because I like old Westerns.
You met with Spielberg, and you just talked about Westerns?
We talked a lot about
old Westerns.
Let's back
up. So he calls you. It's Steven Spielberg.
Yes.
The king of the world. Calls you and says, hi, Vince, you want to come talk about Westerns?
No, he was doing this movie, and would you like to go in to talk to him about being in the movie? I said, sure.
Yeah.
You go to Amblin, which looks like a Smurf village, the way that the, the houses are. We just talked a lot about Westerns, and I liked him very much. And then, but no one could see a script. It was like you couldn't see a script for the movie, for Lost World. And so I went and did that, and that was a big change going from Swingers to that. And then I really made a decision. I didn't want to do a lot of studio films, and I spent the next years really doing... You know, whether it was Clay Pigeons or I did Made with Favreau or I did Return to Paradise with Joaquin Phoenix. And I did a much more that kind of movie. And I didn't want to do these studio films. I hated them all. I didn't like them. I thought that they were really kind of like, and that was just my personal taste. I had been offered stuff, but I just thought, I don't know. I think coming from Swingers and doing that. Now, mind you, when I started, like I said, I was happy just to be working. And then after Swingers, I sort of felt like, well, gosh, I want to do movies that are kind of about something.
Those are serious roles, some of them.
Yeah, I did more dramatic stuff. And, you know, they were always critically that well received, but you know, no one knew who we were. And we were kind of movies that weren't really kind of, you know, bigger, larger movies. They were smaller films.
And that was a choice. You were like,
that
no,
was a
you
choice
know, like,
at the time. I would have done something. I just didn't love the material that was out there.
So you work with Spielberg and you're like, I'm done with that shit.
Not wasn't that. No.
No,
I thought that for me was... I was a big fan of Steven, like, you know, obviously E.T. and Close Encounters,
sure.
And I think he's a great filmmaker.
Of course.
And so that was fun to be in that experience. But it wasn't my calling at the time to feel like I wanted to go and do that. And then later when I got, and then I had done Made in this, and then when Todd Phillips came to me with Old School, which was our comedy, I really liked it, and I thought there was something rebellious about it, something kind of outlaw that I liked about it. And so
well,
that
he's
was the
kind of outlaw, isn't he?
He's great.
Phillips
Todd
is
Todd is great.
Out of his mind, right?
I love him. I love him.
Great.
I mean, he's terrific.
But that was a huge break, and that sort of defined, you know, your persona a little bit, movie-wise.
Well, I started liking these comedies that were coming out then, so a lot of those comedies I thought were really fun and good movies. So
yeah.
I started saying yes and sort of went on a roll of doing, you know, that and Dodgeball and Wedding Crashers and these kind of movies that I thought were really, really fun.
Now, do you, like, because you like one of the guys. You're like one of this, you know, this modern comedy mob of dudes that do those movies. How close are you with those guys, like with Owen and with Will? And I mean, I always want to believe that you guys are all kind of talking during the day and, you know, like I wonder what Owen's up to. Hey, man, what's happening? Nothing. Just watching TV. Any of that going on?
I don't care if those guys live or die. I'll be honest with you.
Sorry.
It's called acting. Here's
another illusion shattered.
No, Owen and I are very close. Owen's a very good friend, but I don't see him all the time. But we do stay in touch, and I like him quite a bit as a person. And I really respect him as an actor, as a writer, just as a person. I like Owen quite a bit, and you know, you don't spend all that much time with each other. And he's probably the one that I'm closest with of that group.
And did you feel pressure? I mean, after Old School happens, and that's a huge movie, and it's a huge break, and it puts you on the map in a huge way, you know, outside of Swingers. That's the biggest thing, right? Up to that point.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I had done some other things, and remember I did one movie that I did that was The Cell, and I played this part, and I said, I want to do it this way, and they said, yes, you can, and then I did it, and they wouldn't let me do it entirely the way I wanted to do it. And you kind of learn there's a honeymoon period where they kind of want you in the movie, and sometimes they want to kind of not do what they're saying that they're going to do. And I was like,
they figure they got you after a certain point.
Well, I don't know. They just figure they kind of want to sometimes dial it down towards the middle a lot of times. But so Old School was kind of fun, and Todd's really a great filmmaker. I mean, yes, he does a lot of comedies, but he's very talented and very smart guy.
Yeah, I've heard great things about him. I'd like to interview that guy. I heard that, like, if you talk to the guys who work on The Hangover, he has real guts. Like, he'll push
beyond
the limit.
And he's kind of like an artist, but he's also very defiant, like, in a good way. He really believes in what he does, and he doesn't engage in sort of trying to make everyone okay as far as... If you're working with him, you feel like you have a really strong head coach who knows what he wants to do, and you know he's going to find a way to get that done. So it makes it really fun and easy for you on the set.
So once you did Old School, did you feel... I guess the question is, because you had a big run of comedies after that, and you're pretty much a comedy superstar. Was there pressure for you to kind of like, you know, they were looking for you to be that Vince Vaughn? Like, you know, can you just do that kind of, you know, snappy kind of...
You know, I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just saying yes to material that I liked. It was fun to find things that I was excited to go do.
Yeah.
So Dodgeball was fun. I liked, you know, that character and that story. And then Starsky and Hutch with Todd again was fun. And Wedding Crashers was fun.
Yeah.
It was just nice to be doing those movies. You know, David Dobkin, who I had done Clay Pigeons with younger, with Joaquin, he was directing that movie, and I always liked working with him. So when he came to me with Wedding Crashers, he said, me and Owen and him really got to write a lot and kind of, you know, have fun with the script and you know, come up with ideas. And so that felt very collaborative and kind of fun. We were kind of off the radar, you know. They weren't really watching us too much, the studio. They did it at a small enough price, and we were kind of left alone. So I think we were able to do something that we really felt great about.
I saw, I didn't meet Joaquin, but I watched him sleep. I was... I mean, it was probably wrong of me. I was being flown somewhere first class, and he was in the seat ahead of me, and he was sleeping. I went to the bathroom. I'm like, there's Joaquin sleeping. I should probably keep moving. But I lingered for a couple seconds. I'm just being honest with you.
I like that.
I don't know him. He seems like a nice guy.
Very nice.
Yeah, I didn't get that far.
He was tired. You know, normal, most people on planes do like to shut it down for a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I know.
Laptop it, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I know. I don't know what I was expecting.
Sometimes that's the perfect parachute out of a strange person that you don't know next to you.
Yeah.
Just sleep.
A little nap, yeah.
I wasn't even next to him. I was behind
him. Behind, next.
I know, I get it. I'm not saying I was right. But
I'm not saying it was wrong.
Now, your dad was in a couple movies with you?
We started with Swingers. John's put his grandmother in Swingers, and I put my father in Swingers. And then it kind of worked, so we kept trying to put him in stuff like a good luck charm.
Is he still around?
Yes, he is. Unfortunately, Favreau's grandmother's not. She was the best. But my father is, and he's great, too. Yeah.
And you've always gotten along with him all the way through?
With?
Your dad?
Yes.
That's good.
Most part, yeah, we're very close. Yeah. We fight, you know, sometimes like anybody does.
Yeah.
There's stupid shit, doesn't matter. Like, what team's better, you know, it doesn't make a
sports.
Difference. Just family, anything.
Yeah.
Sports, things that you aren't a part of. I can't do this anymore. Swear to God. Got to get past it. Got to get past it. What do I talk about? Ceramics? What do we excel at?
I don't know anything about ceramics.
Well, what is it? There's got to be a safe place where you really feel good.
Guitar?
You do feel good with guitar.
I like guitar.
Yeah.
Are you playing guitar? You play guitar?
I don't. So there
you
go.
Like that?
Checkmate. Yeah. You won.
I'm a captain.
Yeah.
Of guitar.
Yeah. That's right. Captain
that felt
guitar.
Great. Yeah, that felt good.
You know what? It felt good for me, too.
Did it?
Yeah, because we got past that other
I'm
moment.
Past it. I am, too. Do you have cats?
I don't. My wife had a cat that was non-negotiable when we got married.
You had to have it.
Well, yeah, that's with, you know. It
came with her.
It's one thing to have a cat. That's one thing, right?
Yeah.
It's a cat. That's fine.
Yeah.
But then when the cat's name's Diva, it's like just sticking it in you, right? I got a cat and its name is Diva.
Yeah.
Okay, Diva's fine, but Diva's not like a friendly cat that wants to be down with everybody.
Dogs? You a dog guy?
I'm a dog guy, but I don't have any dogs currently.
Why not?
Well, I will. The kids are very young, and when they get older.
Oh, so you got to wait so they don't hurt the kids.
Yeah, I got to make it my wife's idea.
Yeah.
Well, I realize you want a dog, so here we go. Here we go. Diva the dog. Mm.
So,
you a swimmer? Big swimmer?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I was on a swim team.
Okay.
I did do that.
All right.
Yeah, I had a B time and breaststroke. I was all right with that. Yeah,
okay.
I can swim. I can do a few strokes of butterfly. It'll make it look impressive for about like 30 seconds.
That's
and
good.
Then I peter out.
How do we do with the ribbons? What colors were we collecting? What do we have on the wall at home?
No.
Some blues, some yellows? What are we working with?
Which one's yellow?
Third?
Yeah, maybe a couple of those.
Relay?
A couple of thirds, yeah.
Relay?
Huh?
Relay?
Yeah, I did relay.
Did you push it? Did you touch the wall or not? Did you push it? Did you try to get that?
I was not good at the flip turn.
Flip turn?
Not good and do it.
Wall and push.
Yeah.
You're not going to go blue with that.
And the backstroke.
You're not going blue. You're not going blue with the grab and push. Yeah. You got a mermaid, a little mermaid. You'd be a little Ariel, a little princess, a little water princess.
I know. And the other problem was the backstroke. I'd always like turn over for the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't
work. I was a terrible, terrible swimmer.
You were?
I was a lifeguard, but I never was licensed. True story.
How do you get that job?
Well, I don't worry about what I do and what I don't do. You know what I mean? Looked at the.
Thank God there were no problems.
Well, I was. My friend of my mom's, I wanted a summer job, and she was a lifeguard and could certify people, so she certified me to get a lifeguard job. And I didn't know CPR. But I took the lifeguard job. I'm like, you know, again, 16 or something. So I used to get all the kids and play games with them because I wanted to keep my eye on them. I was nervous that if something happened, I didn't really have the skills to save anybody. So I'd get them all to play games and stuff off the rings, and I would watch them all and play with all the kids. And then I did learn CPR, obviously, because I was like, you know, you can't be watching toddlers and not be able to save them when that's your job. But I was a lifeguard. I love that story. I'm going to tell it again. I was a lifeguard. But I was on a swim team, and I was horrible. I was a terrible fucking swimmer. I know that makes you just so happy, Captain Guitar. And I was really, really bad.
What was your stroke?
I didn't have one. If I had a stroke, I was terrible. They put me on a relay team. But one time I got put in the backstroke, and there was four kids in the race.
Yeah.
And you know, as we all do, three people are going to get a ribbon in this race. So I had a hell of a shot in this thing. And there was a kid from another school who was very big. He was a large child. He was fed a lot, and he was a big, 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 big kid.
Yeah.
And me and him were apparently, because, you know, you don't know what's going on when you're in the backstroke, we were apparently in a fucking dogfight. Because the people from his swim team were like, they couldn't believe it. Like, he had a chance to ribbon. And they were standing by the pool, and they were screaming for him and cheering for him, and there was emotions, and I was kind of doing it. And the people from my team weren't all that kind of behind me, to be honest with you. But I ended up touching before him and winning but I felt terrible, like I didn't, because I feel like the guy that they wanted, like Rudy, he didn't get the ribbon.
He deserved it.
But that's the ribbon that I won. That was my individual ribbon.
At the cost of a guy who probably won nothing ever.
I taught him a very valuable lesson that day. That guy's a lingerie model today because of that moment.
So when you did, all right, so you did the breakup, and then you did, that's a fun movie.
Yeah.
All your movies are fun.
Yeah.
I'm becoming Chris Farley. This is my biggest nightmare. I'm just going.
Why?
You remember that part? You know that character.
That's right.
What? I don't know when that happened. You know, we were having a good conversation. Now I'm just going to go right to the filmography.
We were talking about me beating a larger boy in a swim meet.
Yeah. Well, I think that hurt me somehow.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
That's a sport you were good at. That's a sport you were good at. I mean, guess what? That's a sport.
No, but the fact that when you were swimming,
good, you get out of the water, you shake the air out, you knew you were good at something. Yeah.
And you have to adjust because of the speedo.
That's right. Yeah. Some of us more than others, but yes.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact that when you were swimming, you knew that that kid, that this was his one chance.
I don't know what it was. It was like, I knew I was terrible, and I knew there was excitement around the pool. And I knew I was in a dogfight. I knew I was in a dogfight. And okay. I knew they just couldn't believe he had a chance at ribboning.
The second movie you did with John that he wrote, what was that called again?
Made.
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
And that was a little darker. Like, it seemed like, you know.
Intentionally, because we didn't want to kind of try to do the same type of thing. So we intentionally made it a little darker.
Because you're like a little scary in that.
A little annoying. Yeah, it's scary. It's good. I like that. That's one of my favorites. I like Made.
Do you want to do more of that?
Sometimes, yeah. I'd like to. I'm doing different stuff. Try to do some different stuff. I'm excited to go do some more things like that or more character stuff and smaller things.
Now, I'm going to ask a difficult question.
Let's do it.
So when you do a few movies that get a lot of push and don't go great.
Like the last few, you can say it, yeah.
Okay, like the last few movies, there's a lot of you around, and then it's like, did you see that movie? I don't know, did it open?
Right.
Was that rude?
No, it's true.
Okay. Like it. How do you process that?
Well, I think each one you do differently, but it depends on, you know, obviously you want people to see your movies and you'd like for them to do well, but a lot of it as an actor is really out of your control. Breakup was my idea. I produced that movie, so I had a lot of say.
That did well, right?
That did well. And that was something to do a little different where they don't necessarily end up together at the end. And you know, it's hard sometimes to get those things through a process because
with
they
no
want
no happy ending.
They want the thing that's going to test the highest and be the thing that's going to be the most obvious for audiences to want to go and do its multiple. So if you do something like that, they really want to try to have the version of the movie that they think is going to be the most crowd-pleasing.
Right.
So I was fortunate that I was able to, you know, be able to have it be sort of the ending that we intended it, which was for them not to end up together. But, you know, on some of these films that you go do, you're just a hired gun. So you can, like, you know, for example, on The Internship, which was my idea originally, and I think Sean did a very good job with the movie. The story of the movie is very good. But obviously for me, when I went back to Owen, I wanted to do an R comedy. I wanted to do something that was adult, that was far more, you know, adult in conversation. Yeah. And it ended up with the studio and decisions to make that movie PG-13.
So they neutered it.
Well, I just sort of felt like it's weird because it's me and Owen. And, you know, obviously it's a workplace thing. You could go there. I mean, it was the original intention to.
Right.
But as an actor, you know, those aren't your choices. You're
really?
Not,
even as a star?
It's not your, you know, you're still, you know, the medium is really the director and then and then ultimately the studio, depending on what the situation is. You know, that's why when you're doing things like these smaller films, if you have more control and there's less of a financial risk up front, you're allowed a little more creative freedom with them.
Right. And as far as like, because, you know, we were talking in the dressing room, you know, you seem to be very on top of, you know, structure and narrative and story and stuff. Do you want to write and direct more movies or do you want to do that?
I like being involved in that process, you know. But I think if there's something that you can step into that you feel really good about, the people that you're working with, and everyone wants to say make the same movie, that's fun. But I think as you get older, you do enjoy being more involved in the creative process. And I had been younger with the people that I worked with. We were far more collaborative. And, you know, it's for me, I enjoy that side of the filmmaking process.
What are you producing now?
A movie called Swim Team. Yes. And in this particular film, there's a bunch of misfits, all from different walks of life, kind of from the wrong side of the tracks. And they were younger, they swam, and they were pretty good. They were a good team, but they just couldn't beat those rich kids from the other side of the track ever in a big swim meet.
That sounds fresh.
And now they're older. It's like a park district pool, and you got the one guy who's like really psyched, so he shaves every little bit of his body because he wants to be like a greyhound in the water. He wants to be fast, so he shaves it all up. One guy's got some substance problems. He can swim his ass off, but is he going to show up?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One guy's not swimming for him. He's swimming for his dad. That's not going to work. That's not going to last long, right? One guy's got a wife that's really on him and on him and on him and, you know, pushing him around and making him make choices and sacrifices. And one day in the middle of one of her tirades, he just walks out. She goes, "Where the fuck do you think you're going?" And he goes, "I'm going to swim practice, babe."
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Is that in production?
Well, I don't want to say it's a green light, but it's a flashing yellow. It's a amber. Pre-production.
So how long have you been a dad?
A little over 3.5 years.
Is that great?
Yeah, it's great.
How did that change everything for you mentally and emotionally?
You know, I waited till I was older to have kids.
How old are you?
I'm 44 now.
So, and you so had 41?
I always do the math, and I feel like I'm like, when I was younger, you know, the kids, you show up with that old parent. You know, always felt weird. You go, God, fucking Laura's dad's a fucking senior citizen, right? Remember they always had the real old dad? Like everyone's parents would show up, and then he'd move real slow. And
yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
And then someone would say something like, oh, it's nice your grandparents showed up. That's my dad. Yeah, you go, oh, yeah. Fuck, I want to bury my dad. I feel terrible.
Yeah.
But I started doing the math. I think I could be the old dad.
Yeah.
Because I think I was 39, 40 when I had the first one. So, but the good side of it is I think that you're older and more patient in those ways. Yeah, but the downside is like when I beat my dad for the first time, and we're going to go back to sports because I know that that's where you live. It was a big deal, but I know these kids will be beating the shit out of me early, right?
Wait, how'd you beat your dad?
With basketball or like a game of horse, he's far better than I was. He played in college. But, you know, if you beat him in a game of horse or something, he's a big deal. But, you know, my dad was younger when he had kids. Now, how about you?
What about me?
Kids?
Almost.
Yeah?
Yeah, came close.
Yeah?
And then I don't know if I think I did the right thing. I was she was significantly younger than me. And I had trouble getting her to clean her room. So I don't know that the child thing was really going to work out. I don't think it's going to happen for me.
And is it something that you want?
You know, I've avoided it this long, and I've been married twice, and I've got no kids.
Right.
So I think that I might be a little too self-involved.
I don't know. Maybe you just haven't found the right person, or you weren't the right time for you.
Yeah, so you think I can
still do
it?
I think you still could. I think if it's something that you want.
I'm 50, man.
You're also a guy, and you would be able to have a kid. It's scientifically possible.
I'm 50. I'm going to have to find a woman that's going to have to sign some sort of paperwork that she's going to have to do 80% of the work. And that when I'm 60, she just leaves me alone and brings the kid in occasionally.
Well, I think it's about finding the right person, whoever is going to make sense for what you're looking for, if that's something that you want.
You think there's still hope, huh?
I do. If it's something you want. I don't think it's something you have to have. But I think if it's something that you want to have, you can kind of ask for those years back now and say there are things I'd like to have. I'll have kids with you. I will have kids with you. I'll impregnate you.
Huh?
I'm saying I'll have kids with you. You were reaching for me. I don't know what happened.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought that's what we were moving towards.
Have kids. I'm in.
No, I think, is it wrong to say I'd like to try it, see how it goes?
Hello? Ding, 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 ding. Oh, yeah.
So
you guys thought you were coming to a little talk.
Should we do it now, or do you want to wait on it?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want? Oh, like a big closer? Like, and now I'm going to fuck her. And then we do that. And Vince, you would ref it. You could ref it.
Here's what I like. Let's get someone pregnant and back into getting along. I think that's a good plan.
Huh?
I like this. Let's have the kid. Okay, here it is.
Yeah.
Now let's figure out how do we get along. I think that's a good plan.
Well, that's what our parents did, I think.
That's how it used to work. That's right.
I think that's how it didn't work out great with my parents.
No?
No, they're okay. But I mean, look at me.
You're fantastic.
Well, thank you very much.
You're fantastic. Yeah, now, are your parents still together?
No. Yours?
No.
Right. How old were you when that happened?
I was 21.
They waited.
You?
Right when you got out the door, they're like,
finally. I know, that's
the
thing, too, right? Because that's on the other side. It's like, oh, great, it's all pretend. You're only here for me, right? For kids.
Yeah.
If they do it younger, they say it's hard for kids.
Right.
But if they wait, then that can be hard, too.
Because you're only waiting
for me, right?
Right, the whole thing a lie?
Right, exactly. That's a lot of responsibility, right?
No, I was. It was difficult for me, and I'm still getting over it. I was. 35,
How old were you?
35. And
when they got divorced?
Yeah, because it was like, who do I live
That's
with?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's tough. Those are choices.
Yeah,
Sophie's choice.
Hard.
It's your choice.
Mom,
that was your choice.
Yeah. No, they're both a little kooky, but they're okay. I still have very dramatic, exciting fights with my father.
Right.
Ridiculous.
And don't you feel horrible afterwards?
Horrible.
Yeah.
Have you done that?
Oh, yeah, you have arguments. It's not fun.
No, I mean like big arguments.
Well, you get mad, sure, yeah. Not like fighting, no.
Not physical, but
I love my father. I have so much respect for him. But you can fight because it's your family. You can get very upset over
things. But fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you scream, you get angry. Yeah, it can
happen. You do that?
Not in a while, but younger,
what's
for
a while?
Sure.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's happened.
No. Like, what's a while? Seriously.
It has happened, yes. I've confirmed that. But it's not an ongoing thing. Yes, this is like, all of a sudden, I'm on a detective show, and he's trying to get the final answer out of me. All right, the guy stole the car. What do you want?
Yeah, I've got your father on the phone.
There he is.
Yeah. It's weird, though, because, you do feel bad. I had one of those recently where it's sort of like, what did I just do?
Try to figure out what was it really about, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to repeat that. You don't want to be doing
You don't
that.
Want to repeat it, but it's hard to let go of the fact, like, well, he had that coming.
No, do you feel that way? Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Don't you?
No, I don't, but it's okay. I like this. You feel like he had that coming because you feel like there was times, perhaps, where he was kind of pushing you around a little bit, and this was like, now it's his turn to know what it feels
like
not to be
heard.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did that feel once that happened at the end, a couple days later? Felt good?
I'm trying to defend it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm trying to defend my choices.
So let me ask you this.
Yes.
A little time passes.
Mm-hmm.
You and him would find yourself back on the old horn.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you, what's the first thing said? Do you talk about the fight or you just move on until a new fight happens?
He's trying to renegotiate.
Okay.
Yeah. But then there's always a little catch to it. You know, there's a but, you know, and then I'm like, oh, that's a clause and I don't enjoy that at all. But I think isn't the but
maybe kind of saying, here's where I'm coming from or here's how I felt as a person? Because it's, even though it's your dad, he's still a person feeling his stuff, right? Isn't the but kind of like.
Yeah, but that's not my problem.
That's not your stuff.
It's going to be okay. You know, it just becomes. Yeah, I sent him some money. And I think that.
throw a little cash on the problem. Oh, your feeling's bad here. Here, you took the fucking money. Don't say a word. You took the fucking money. Did you want the new addition to the fucking house in Mexico or you didn't want the fucking new addition? Did you? All right.
You took the money. That's it. Yeah, we're good.
Now we're talking about my day. Love you, Dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Love you, Dad.
Whew, that was good. So I'm over a lot of shit. This was helpful. I'm a captain. And
you are a captain. No one can take that away from you.
I know. I'm getting a sweater.
Yep. You are getting a sweater. By the way, you are getting a sweater.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah. And, you know, my dad and I are going to be all right.
You and your dad are all right. Now I think we got to find a new mate because this one's a lot. I like her. Oh, I like her. But I'm just saying, we need a date. You guys want to go out on a date, I'll pay for it. Otherwise, you're on your own. It's like the old love connection.
What are you working on?
I just did a movie called Term Life.
Yeah?
With Haley Seinfeld and Peter Billingsley, who I work with quite a bit, director of the movie. And it's got a great cast. It's based on a graphic novel. It's about a guy who's a criminal, and then he has a daughter that he's kind of not in her life, and he plans a heist that kind of goes bad, and they're forced to sort of be around each other. It turned out very good.
Yeah, you like it?
I like it.
Is it a darker character, edgier?
It is. It's an R movie. It's not a comedy, but it was very, very good.
And I don't usually ask this, but like, are there people that you really want to work with that you haven't? Like, who are your heroes in the whole racket?
You know, I don't have that as much. I mean, there's people I like working with and doing stuff. I don't really set people up in my mind and say, God, I really love to do something with that person. I always hear, like, I think it's weird when people do interviews sometimes and they say, how did you feel when so-and-so called you? And like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. I mean, I think it's nice to have people to like to work with.
Right.
I don't really, to me, it's more about the material or what the attempt is. And sure, there's people whose work you like, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Who were your, like, filmmaker heroes? Like, what were the movies when you were growing up? Where you
watched a lot of Westerns as a kid.
You like Westerns?
I like Westerns, yeah.
What's your favorite one?
It's hard to pick a favorite one. I watched Shane a lot. was good. George Stevens. I like Wild Bunch. The Searchers was good.
Wild Bunch is great.
A great movie, right?
You know,
Peckinpah.
Yeah.
Bill Holden.
Yeah, he was great in that.
Great.
And who was the other one? Robert Ryan played that.
Very good.
That's beautiful.
Ben Johnson.
Yep. Ben Johnson.
Yeah. He was in both. He was in Shane and he was in Wild Bunch.
Wow.
And Warren Oates.
Warren Oates. I'm just going to repeat names.
That's good.
You know, it's a great movie, The Unforgiven. Have you watched that recently?
Very good movie.
Genius.
Very good movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is Shane dead when he drives away?
No.
He's not?
Okay. Maybe a little part of him, but not in the natural. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in the natural.
How about the part of the in The Searchers where John Wayne's going to shoot the girl?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because she's one of them now? That's heavy shit.
That was the first movie to really kind of deal with racism in that way.
Yeah, and he just owned it. It was kind of scary. You're like, John Wayne's not cool.
Well, depending on where you came on that, what side of the fence you fell on that at the time.
He's right. Fuck her. Vince Vaughn, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
You can turn on that music.
Thank you.
You guys are great. Thank you for coming.
Thank
Enjoy the festival.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was great. That was fun. Yeah.